All right. What's up here today?
Bill, you spoke about Joe Tooney a little bit earlier this week. You mentioned that he's worked well with Nate on that left side. Just wondering how you've seen Nate help him along, and maybe just can get your thoughts on the kind of year that Nate's had this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nate's had a solid year. Other than that first week, it's been great to have him out there on a consistent basis. And from Joe's standpoint, I think it's been both Nate and David, having two experienced guys on either side of him. It's never a bad thing. So, but Nate, Nate's done a good job. He's obviously blocked a lot of good players. See another one this week. See a couple of them this week. So, he's been solid for us. Running game, passing game, all of it.
Got a random question. It's been years, if ever, that you've had a guy miss every practice in the week and then play in that weekend's game. I'm curious if it's more of like a policy or if it's just one sort of goes hand in hand with the other. If you're not healthy enough to practice, you're probably just not healthy enough to play.
Yeah, there's no policy that I'm aware of.
Okay. I'm not saying like... I was just curious if like... I don't know if that was like a Parcells thing, anything like that.
Yeah, you have to ask Bill about that. I don't know. No, we don't have a policy. We do what's best for the team, which is also, in a lot of cases, what's best for the player, depending on what his situation is. So, but we do what's best for the team. So that's the policy.
Yeah. One of those things I've been thinking of, so I figured I'd go against the wall.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's I appreciate the question, but, yeah, there's no, like, handbook on what it needs to be, what it is, or it's what's best for the team.
Michael Floyd said that Jacoby has been helping him out a lot before practice, after practice. Is that something that you'll ask a player to help out another player, or do they have to take that on their own?
Well, I think in a lot of cases we would facilitate it. I think in this particular case, it helps both players. And so I think, when you have to explain what you're doing to somebody else, it helps you understand it better in Jacoby's case. And, the coaches are involved in a lot of, look, we all have the things that we have to do on a regular weekly basis, preparing our different position groups and breaking down film and getting ready for practice and organizing meetings and so forth. So it's hard for a coach just to, drop what he's doing for 2 or 3 hours and go meet with a player. I mean, we do that and, we balance it off. But there's also a place where if you have a player that's available that can do it, that it's kind of the right situation like this one is. And that can be beneficial to the coaching staff, could be beneficial to the player, could be beneficial to the new player to have somebody to go through that with him, not as a coach, but in this case, probably the guy who's in a way more important than the coach, the guy who's throwing the ball, that's an important relationship to have between the receiver and the quarterback. So sometimes it works out. Again, there's no set formula or way to do it. In this case, we happen to be in a situation where that is, I think, again, there's a lot of benefit all the way around, and so I think it's been good. It's helped Floyd, and it's definitely helped Brissett. And it's helped Chad and Josh, too. So,
with Jacoby back in the mix, how does it change Jimmy's practice squad reps or scout team reps or his role in the scout team?
A little bit. I mean, the past couple of weeks is that's also been a function of Tom's availability. So there have been a few times here in the last 2 or 3 weeks where Jimmy's probably got more reps than he has gotten all year prior to the Cleveland game, since the Cleveland game, that there have been practices where he's taken literally every snap, like he did prior to Arizona or prior to Miami. So as it's worked out, he's gotten actually more work, not because Jacoby's, but that's actually helped us with Jacoby too by having two quarterbacks instead of just one if he wouldn't have been available. But again, Jacoby can do some other things in practice too. And there's things he can do to help the defense. And again, there's times where he could take individual receivers and work with them. So again, we try to use everybody that's available, figure out a way to be productive.
How important is it for the quarterback, whoever's running the scout team, to approach that with a competitive mindset, just in terms of giving the defense the best look possible?
Yeah, that's an important part of that person's job, but that extends to all the other people who are doing the same thing. So the player who's playing Landry, the player who's playing Stills, the player who's playing Parker, the player who's playing Sims, the Jai, right down the line, all of them. The guys that's playing Albert, Tunsil, all of them. So same thing on defense, Lippitt, Thomas and Howard and so forth. So we spend time talking to those players about how that individual plays, or maybe how they play a particular play, like on this coverage, here's what they're going to do, here's how they're going to handle a vertical route, handle a crossing route, handle whatever it is, and try to get the best look we can at those plays. That certainly helps our players prepare the best they can to see what they're going to see on the game during the week, as opposed to seeing something else that's a facsimile but not really what it's going to be. It just kind of doesn't help the timing. So I think our players do a really good job of that. They understand how important it is for the people who are showing them what they need to see, and then they know it's incumbent on them to return that same look in our practice squad players. That's probably their main role, which is a very important role that we recognize every week, and they take that very seriously and professionally to try to, that's their role, is to get somebody else ready. And someday that'll change, or might change, like it does for a lot of our practice squad players, where they're the ones that are getting ready and somebody else is doing it for them. So,
Jacoby in particular, have you seen him, for lack of a better?
He tries to do what, and Jimmy too. No, they've done a good job of that. And again, that there's a lot of different components to that, how to read certain plays, mannerisms, cadence, audibles at the line of scrimmage, things like that. No huddle tempo, like for example, San Francisco, teams like that. Just, the whole tempo, sometimes that's more of a priority than something else. I mean, look, it's hard to get another team's offense down in a few hours, but we try to prioritize it. Here's the things we need to see. We really need a good look on this, or this route, or this play, or this tempo, or whatever it is, this blitz or this disguise.
Well, how much time do you spend just with the coaching staff this time of year going over situations with Josh, with Matt, with the coaching staff, different game situations, so not only the players are ready, but the coaching staff is ready now and in the playoffs?
We do it on a regular basis.
How do you go about it? Is that film in practice? Different ways?
If it's a specific situation we go over in practice, yes. But we have to really create those. Mostly we have to create those situations in practice. It's fourth and two, or there's 5 seconds left, or there's 10 seconds left. I mean, we have to create the situation. The reacting to them, those come, we talk about them after the game. We talk about them prior to the game that we're going to play. What we anticipate happening in these situations, what we want to call, what we think they'll do. And then there's just the generic situations that come up. You flip on any game in the National Football League and probably find, half a dozen situations in any random game that are worth talking about. And again, it doesn't really matter what they did. It's just, okay, here's the situation. What would we do? Or what would we not do, so every once in a while you see something that's a little bit different, and that stimulates you again, like the the San Francisco play where they, you know, tackled the receivers on the play before the half, took the holding penalty, and, you know, forced the field goal, things like that that aren't, I'll say you've never seen them before, but maybe you haven't talked about them in a while, or maybe you haven't seen them before. And so that, you know, that comes up from time to time. But yeah, and there's a lot of film to look at here. I mean, you take a team like Miami that's been in all the close games that they've been in, all you got to do is go through their film, and there are a lot of situations that come up, and we talk to the team about that. Again, you don't know which situations are going to hit, but I mean, there's the basic ones you have to cover, and then there's always, you know, a couple that are maybe a little off the, you know, the main road, which is worth talking about for when it comes up. And then there's usually, you know, I know Dean sends you guys, or the league sends you guys a weekly rules update, and sometimes there's things in there that are, you know, worth pointing out. Again, especially if we get something from the league that's, okay, here's what's happened on this type of play, this is the rule, here's how we're going to call it. Well, you know, you need to be timely on that, because that's what they're sending their officials, and that's how they're going to call it. So if it comes up again, this is the way they're going to treat it. So I don't think you want to wait till next year on that, because if that situation comes up again, you know, you want to be ready for what they've told you they're going to do. You know, and they come down and say, like, well, we're going to crack down on whatever, this or that, and here's why, and here's some of the plays that are coming up, and this is going to be called. Well, that's something that's in your, somewhere in your framework, in your boundaries, then you do it. You probably need a call, so you might as well change it.
You've had so many close games with Rex Ryan teams over the years. Are you going to miss the element of competition when it comes to going against him in the AFCs?
Yeah, right now we're just thinking about Miami. Not thinking about anybody else.
Kind of going back to the practice squad thing, Tyler Gaffney, how valuable has he been the last 2 weeks where you've been preparing to play a couple of really big backs?
Yeah, he's done a good job for us. Again, he's another, you know, another guy similar to the Jacoby situation sometimes. You know, it's a ball security thing we talked to him about, like this back, you know, kind of swings the ball around a little bit, and he'll, even though he shouldn't do that, you know, he'll do it to kind of help our defense prepare for it, or this is the way he runs a certain type of route. And again, there's a lot of little things. And you know, the players do a good job with him, too. You know, linebackers, they'll say, you know, hey, he'll cheat on this or he'll cheat on that when he's got protection or a certain route, or, you know, he lines up deeper on certain plays or closer to the line on certain plays. And, you know, just as we go through the week, just to, you know, help each other there. But no, he does a great job. Tyler's, I mean, he's a smart guy. He's very team oriented. If you ask him to do something, he's going to give you a great look. I mean, there's nobody that takes more punches than he does. I mean, they must get punched in the stomach 10 times a day. Defense trying to take the ball out. You know, that's his role. That's his job. So, you know. But they're slapping at the ball, they're pulling at it, they're trying to punch it out. Half the time they miss, and you know. But that's so, no, he does a great job.
So kind of off the beaten path. Did you ever had any interaction with Lavelle Edwards?
Not much. No, not really.
Billy, you guys are up there near the top of the league when it comes to punt return, yards allowed, and I think net punting, you guys are over 40 yards for the season. I'm just wondering, how much has overall speed of that unit contributed to the success they've had in terms of covering kicks, or is there something else about that group as a whole that's allowed them to be effective this year?
I mean, it's really such a team play. It's obviously the punter is a very important part of it. Ryan's done a good job for us. Snapper's an important part of it. Joe's done a good job for us. But in the other nine guys, the coaching, and all the situational plays that come up in the punting game, you know, again, it's not like standing there on the driving range and just, you know, banging them out there. I mean, every punt's different. The Is it a six-man box? Is it a seven-man box? Is it an eight-man box? Is it an overloaded box? Who are the edge rushers? What's the field position? What's the down and distance? Who's the returner? The wind? The return tendencies based on, are they vicing a gunner? Are they vicing both gunners? Do they have a key guy who sets the return that's kind of their point of attack guy in the return game? Are we going to, kick away from him or whatever the case might be? You know, who are their game plan rushers? How do we handle the guys coming off the gunners, the corner rolls, the fake corner rolls and all that? So the personal protector is a critical guy and all that. Nate, he's done a great job for us. So, you know, definitely being strong down the middle there from Joe to Nate to Ryan is important. But, everybody up front being on the same page, being able to pick up all the different twists and, having to involve a guy with, his head between his legs as a blocker, especially when they put good rushers on that guy. I mean, that's usually where you get one of their best guys. So the challenge of snapping and blocking, but also helping that guy with his block because he can't see. And if they twist while he's snapping the ball, which they do, then other people have to come and play there. So it's really a great team play. The gunners, making not only tackles, but downing balls and, playing with proper leverage to get the ball to the other coverage players so they can be effective. I think it's the whole team really that has done a good job on that. We've had a lot of consistency there, had a lot of the same guys line up in the same spot week after week. Joe and Bobo have done a good job of game planning that. It's a lot of, it's a game within a game. It really is. It's a one play situation, but so many of those situations are so, if you punt 7-8 times in a game, probably five of them are going to be unique. One or two might repeat. Might have a second plus 50 punt or a second backed up punt with the same direction or the same wind or, whatever it is. But you get there's a lot of variety in those plays. And the later it goes in the game, then the more it becomes, really a situational game. And a lot of times, honestly, the yards aren't that important. I mean, whether it's 35 or 40, it's nice that it's 40, but that's not the most important thing. Most important thing is it's not, minus 20. So.
Final question?
Just to build off that, I guess that you've had 15 games now with this new kickoff rule, and it seems like teams have approached it in their own ways throughout the course of the season, but I want to get your perspective. I don't think this was the league's intent, but do you feel like it's become a more competitive play or more of a strategic play in any way that, with the touchback rule changing this offseason?
Maybe a little bit. We'll see. We'll see when all the numbers come in and all that. Again, I know for us, we look at each situation every week, and we're not in a controlled environment here, so there are some variables, even though we haven't really had any bad conditions, but potentially there are some variables here that other teams don't have to deal with, so that could override any rule, that you put in or any anything like that. But it'll be interesting to see what the league-wide numbers are and all that. I'd say last week was a good example, though, of some of the big proponents of we want more touchbacks. We saw a pretty big concussed play with a touchback. So part of the touchback is, we think it's made a touchback, so everybody's really not playing at the same speed because we think it's a touchback, it's going to be a no play, but then as a coverage team, you don't know for sure the guy isn't coming out or not, so you're playing it at full speed. So, some of the concussions and some of the injuries look to me like they come on touchbacks. So, we want more touchbacks. Is that really solving the problem here as it's been presented by the competition committee? I mean, I think you know how I feel about it, so. We'll see how smart some of that has really been to address the problems that we think were being addressed.
Thank you.
don't know. Seems like, you know, football, we got a pretty good game here. Been that way for a long time. Seems like kicking game's been a great part of our game. But we really, I guess, have a lot of people that feel like the game needs to be changed. So I don't know. We'll have to see where all that turns out. I don't know what all the numbers are. I couldn't tell you for sure. Okay. All right. Yep. Thanks.